The Bible says there is no other name in the universe by which mankind can be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Good singing. You may be seated. As we get settled, I just want to give a word of thanks. We had the opportunity to be at the high school on Thursday evening, and my thanks to Bonnie and Chip for coming and helping with that. We had some good conversations with students and parents, and that was in the context of their job and career fair. We're there to offer the high school kids opportunities for community service because they need that for college. So just a word of thanks for helping out. Really appreciate it. And we had a good night of fellowship too. Hershey's Kisses. We had Hershey's Kisses and lollipops. And they were popular. So I can put it that way. They were popular with Chip. That came from your wife, not from me.
I am mostly Hershey's Kisses.
That's why you're so sweet, right? Okay.
All right. I know this guy. Just so you know. I love him too.
Now listen, I again, one of the things that I really struggle with as a pastor is that we take a lot for granted. This is the fourth year the high school invited us to be there. This came at their invitation. That's a miracle in itself in this day and age. So however God wants to use that, is that's his business, that we just have to be faithful to our call. I want to ask you a question. I want to get a couple of things on the table here first. Is there anybody here who's perfect? All right, I'm. Yeah, if you're perfect, we got to talk after the service. Because the Bible tells me nobody's perfect. The Bible also tells me no one is righteous in and of themselves. Our righteousness, for those of us who have put our faith in Christ, comes from Christ and Christ alone. However, even though that we have been born again, we're still not perfect, correct? We struggle. I mean, I want to get that on the table. And the reason why I want to get that on the table initially is because when I preach a message like this, someone will inevitably come up to me after the service and say, "But we're human." Yeah, I hope so. Better than being an alien. Even though the Bible says you're aliens if you're a Christ follower, right? But we're human. Yeah, we're human. However, do you know that in our humanness, we want to lower the bar? Whose bar? Well, the bar that God sets, we want to lower it because when God sets the bar, two things happen. We realize how holy he is, and then we realize how unholy we really are. So, you know, in our own humanness and our own imperfection, we want to bring that bar down a little bit so we don't look so bad, maybe. The follow-up question to that is this. Do you really believe, do I really believe, that God really means what he says? And you're saying it half-heartedly here, okay? I mean, do we really believe it? And if so, how is that shown, okay? Let me ask the question in a different way. Do you believe that life would be better and more fulfilling if we live it by faith and obey God's word? Now, we know in and of ourselves we can't do that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit to give us that desire to live that way and the power to live that way. So, if I can just put it differently, too often, you can throw stuff at me if you wish, okay? Too often, those of us who profess to be Christ followers choose to live no differently than the world. Isn't that true? Unfortunately, it's true. Could it be that that has weakened the evangelical church considerably in this country? And the reason why I bring this up, again, listen, nobody's perfect. I understand that. But however, one author that I read, he used a term, and I've seen it used before, but it particularly stuck with me, that even a Christ follower can be a practicing atheist. Those are strong words. We can live as if we don't know Christ. What we do typically in the church is that we put Jesus into compartments, you say. On Sunday, he's got relevance, but when we go back into school or the workplace on Monday or into the family, well, that's different. No, shouldn't be, because Jesus should be relative anywhere we go. April 15th is coming up pretty soon, and all of you know that's tax day, correct? And the question comes up, is Jesus relevant when you fill out those forms? Yeah, I once knew somebody who, years ago, before you were required to put Social Security numbers down for your dependents, actually claimed their pets on their return to get, you know, and hey, you know, greed is a powerful motivator sometimes, isn't it? I'm saying this with a word of caution because James 5 brings us to some pretty serious warnings. There are diseases which can destroy us from the inside out. We know that, correct? For instance, we know what cancer can do, unfortunately. We know what high blood pressure can do, or hepatitis, and we could go on and on. But I want to suggest to you there are diseases that internally, if left unconfessed, that disease is called sin. That can destroy us from the inside out also. And so, not only can it destroy us, but there's not one sin that you can name that doesn't have ripple effects that affects other people. Isn't that true? Every sin will affect somebody else other than us. There's no such thing as private sin. And so, if we take God at his word and we say yes, and I'll go back to Joey's Sunday school lesson this morning. If we can say we agree with Jesus. In other words, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? That still applies today. We agree. All right? Sex should be confined to marriage only. That's Bible teachers. We agree. Right? Marriage should be between a man and a woman. We agree, okay? And yet, I'm seeing so many professing believers starting to violate things that we say we agree on. As a pastor, that raises concern for me. I see young and old people who are doing things, getting sucked back into the world's mold, right? Romans 8 type thing. Don't be conformed, oppressed into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the word of God. In other words, don't let yourself get pressed back into the mold. Oh, meet couples who are living together outside the bonds of marriage, and they'll say to me, I don't need a certificate. Oh, really? Okay, I think the certificate is just a piece of paper. Okay, but to me it represents a commitment. And they'll typically say to me, well, we don't need that. We're committed to each other. I said, oh, gee, that's interesting. So typically I'll tell them there's a Jaguar dealer out in Cherry Hill on Route 70. I said, I want you to go to that dealership. Tell the salesman you want the most expensive Jaguar made. Take it for a test drive and tell them that you want the car. And try to take it off the lot without signing a paper. See how far you'll get. Because that paper represents a commitment. I said, if you love one another, you will commit to one another because no, love is not just a feeling. Love is commitment. And we will try to distort and turn that all around just because we want what we want, even as Christ followers. I mean, I can go on and on. It's what keeps me busy as a pastor. But I want to give you some background on this passage. Last week, James talked about Christ followers who become arrogant, especially business people. Now, he wasn't against business people, but he was speaking a warning against arrogant business people. He was saying, you make all these elaborate plans because you want to make a lot of money. Nothing wrong with making money. It's how you make it. That's the issue, okay? And he says, you make these business plans, if you will. You're going to go to Naples. You're going to go here. You're going to go there. And you assume that everything's going to work out, and you have taken God out of the equation. And you don't even say, if the Lord wills. You haven't even consulted God about your plans. Have you consulted God about your prospective husband or wife? Have you consulted God about what he wants you to do today? Have you consulted God as to what he wants you to do with your wealth? Have you consulted God with how he wants you to treat your neighbor? You know, that person you don't like so much? Have you consulted God with that? You get where I'm going here. And he's saying, look, this is arrogance. You know, you're running around boasting about this because you're kind of like self-made people. But the truth of the matter is we don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring. And so he continues this warning. And he says, beware of godless wealth. I want you to look at this with me. I'll bring you through this. He says, now listen, you rich people. Listen, God has nothing against rich people. He does have something against rich people who make money at the expense of other people they exploit. Or who do bad business practices. I had a professing Christian one time tell me, well, you can't bring God into the business. I said, why not? And he said, business is business and church is church. Well, gee, it seems to me that the last time I read the Bible, that Jesus is everywhere. So he ought to be with you wherever you are, in the home, in the business, in school, wherever you are, he ought to be. And he has something to say about it. Now listen, you rich people, these are strong words. Weep and wail because of the misery that's coming to you. These are professing Christians who are practicing shady business ethics. We think we can get away with this, but God's going to have the last word. These are, have any of you ever watched the program? I only caught a couple of minutes of it on several days. It's a program about hoarders. It's kind of disturbing, hoarders. People who just hoard. Hoarders, okay? Did that come out wrong? I don't know if that came out wrong. People who are hoarding. Some of it's really disturbing. So, you know, some people have newspapers that go back 20 years and they're just stacked, right? But there's different types of hoarders. And the Bible speaks against hoarding, by the way. It really does speak against hoarding. And look at what this says. These people who are professing Christ followers have bought into this. And God is saying, look, don't hoard. Because the outcome's not going to be good. Don't get your money by cheating. Don't get your money by cutting corners. Don't get your money by being dishonest, because the outcome's not going to be good. What's not going to be good about it? This is pretty straightforward, all right? Your wealth has what? Rotted. And moths have eaten your clothes. Listen to how fickle we are, right? The stock market. You know, the stock market is more moody than anyone I know, right? On the heels of the coronavirus scale, it's lost over 3,000 points in a few days, right? And so, you know, for those of you who have 401, whatever the retirement plans are, I don't know, but you've probably lost considerable money over those 3 days. Well, that can happen overnight. Then what are you going to boast in? Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. There's another television program on, it's commercial, I'm sorry, on that talks about, I paid for my wedding by the clothes I've sold. I'm saying, what do you own, a store? Moths have eaten your clothes. Maybe you have so many clothes you don't even know what you have anymore. You know, I don't know. There's a real question that comes up here, and every Christ follower has to answer it. When is enough enough? When is enough enough? And prior to answering that question, you have to say, okay, is God, you know, God's blessing me with wealth, but is it wealth I'm getting legitimately? Is it honest work? Am I treating others well? Am I using it for the glory of God? Or am I hoarding? Well, it continues to get a little bit worse here. How many of you think gold can't erode? Well, it can. It's a metal. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. And here's that word. You have hoarded wealth within what? The last days. You've hoarded wealth. Not one mention in here about using wealth for the kingdom of God. No one. You want to read a good book. We did it as the leadership. Read the Monk and the Merchant. Did I get that? Say that again? The Legend of the Monk and the Merchant. It's really great. Talks about this issue. Really a great book. Again, there's nothing wrong with being blessed with wealth. It's how we obtain it and how we use it. Do you remember the farmer that Jesus talked about in the Gospels? He was boasting that he had a bumper crop. And he says, let's go gather it and bring it into the storehouse. Boasting about it. Didn't even say, hey, look what God provided. And Jesus says what he didn't know was he was a fool. Because later that day, his soul would be required of him. Well, you know what's going to happen to that crop? It's going to rot. It's going to rot. Gets worse. Look, the wages you failed to pay co-workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. You hire workers, you're not paying them. You're not paying them. Have any of you, has that happened to any of you? I know a few people it's happened to. It's not a real good feeling, is it? You work hard and you're expecting pay. By the way, back in Jesus' day, there was no such thing as weekly paychecks. You worked, and the agreement is that you got paid at the end of that day. Because people live day to day. You got paid at the end of that day. The wages you failed to pay coworkers, now you're exploiting people. Who mowed your fields and are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that great that we have God who will hear the cries of exploited people? Some years ago, I worked for a company, and we made big computer systems. And this company made a decision to outsource their factory. And they put 2,000 people out of work as a result of it here in New Jersey. And they outsourced it to Mexico. And the reason they outsourced it was because labor was cheaper down there. And they said it made good business sense. I went to the CFO, and I said to him, this is not right. This is unethical. You're taking jobs out of our country. You're taking the money out of our economy. And this is not right. Well, you know, it's the way the industry is going today. We got to run lean and mean. That was the excuse. I said, that's not going to be good. The first system that came out of that factory in Mexico was a $2.3 million computer system. And the company it went to had a contract that they did not take possession of that machine until it ran flawlessly for 48 hours. Smart company. Well, they plugged it in and it caught fire. It's a true story. And so we fall into all of this stuff. The wages you fail to pay workers and the cries of the Lord. People get hurt and damaged along the way. But, you know, God responds. You know, God hears prayer. If I didn't believe God hears prayer and answers prayer, I'd just walk out right now. I really would. Now, he may not answer the way I'd like him to answer, but he'll answer prayer. Look at this. Oh, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. Heavy words. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Wow. This is a tough message to preach in a culture that praises success, financial success. this is a tough message to preach in a culture that constantly says, hey, you need to get ahead and you need to get ahead. Listen, there's nothing wrong with financial success. There's nothing wrong with pressing on to make your situation better. But how's your ethics? Do we have the ethics to handle this? Greed's a funny thing. I've seen, there's two great motivators in this world that I've seen people succumb to over and over again in a bad way. First is loneliness. Well, actually three. Second is greed. And the third is sex. Wow. And then we start to rationalize bad behavior, even as Christians. This is as far as I'm going to take you today. We'll continue this next week. But how we use our wealth, no matter how great or small, can be a reliable barometer of our walk with Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? Listen, it's none of my business, but I will say to people all the time, give me your checkbook and I'll tell you where you are spiritually. It's really easy. You know, when I worked in secular work before I went to seminary years ago, I was an auditor. It's easy to look at a checkbook and I could tell you where your priorities are, you know, what you're doing. I can't even tell you probably if your income is exceeding in some way what you're supposed to have. We live in a day of materialism, of accumulating. 40 years ago, not that long ago, believe it or not, 40 years ago, the biggest buildings in a town were churches. They were the biggest buildings. Now the biggest buildings are malls, even though they're starting to deteriorate now. Condos. Storage units. Storage units. There's nothing wrong with a storage unit, but you get where I'm going with this? If there wasn't a market for them, I'd really like to stand at a gate one day of a storage unit, you know, and see, and as people come in and say, hey, can you tell me what's even in there? Do you remember what's in your storage unit? I mean, they might, but storage unit upon storage. You know, I Bayville's got one, actually two, I think. We have one here. I mean, every place you turn is a storage unit. Years ago, every place you turn used to have a steeple. We live in a day of materialism, accumulation, and extravagance. It's a very simple step to let wealth possess us and overwhelm us. If we take God out of the equation. I want to bring you just to two other quick verses. Emily, or Angela, I might need your help, whoever's working this. Oh, here we go. I got it. Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. And this is in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Look, not well, it's not a sin to have wealth, but it's how you use it and how you have accumulated that counts. And then, here it goes, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, right, is where? Heart is. Let me go to the next one. Very early on in my walk with Christ, we're new believers. I used to listen to family radio before they got a little bit questionable. And they had a man who read the Bible through. Can't remember his name. He did a great job. And I used to listen to the Bible reading every night after I got home from work. And he was in Mark and he came across this verse. I was a believer only a few months. and it's always stuck with me. What good is this? Is Jesus? What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet do what? Forfeit their soul. Whoa. Listen, be careful. Be careful what you hear today. Be careful what you read today. Be careful of the input. I saw something that really infuriated me this week, and I have to be careful with this. When I say infuriated, it's because there was an assumption made, and I don't want to get political here, but there was an assumption made by a candidate who made a disparaging remark against Vice President Pence when he was appointed by President Trump to head up the task force on the coronavirus. And here's what were his words. We don't need somebody who will prey on a situation. We need someone who will look at the science. And I'm saying, what unmitigated arrogance. We don't need somebody who will prey on the situation. Okay, God, we got this. You think? We got it. I mean, what arrogance. You know, before 9/11, we thought we were safe. We had two oceans between us and them. And on 9/11, we discovered we were not safe anymore. Listen to me. America is still a great country, but it's time we come back to God. It's time we come in repentance and in sorrow for our sin. And it's got to start with the church. For too long, in too many ways, we in the church have been willing to allow things that shouldn't be. So I want to go back to the question I asked initially. Do we believe that God means what he says? And if we do, are we willing, by faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to follow him? Didn't say it was going to be easy, but it's going to be a lot better. The Apostle Paul, when he's talking to the Corinthians, because the Corinthians had a lot of wealthy people and a lot of poverty in the church. And unfortunately, there were bad feelings on both sides, and he was trying to work through that. And Paul makes this statement that I think would be good for all of us. Paul was a tent maker and a Pharisee, if you remember. And tent makers made a lot of money back in the day because a lot of people lived, guess where? Tents. Be like a good contractor today, you know, making money. And Paul makes this statement as he's walking these people through loving one another. He says to the rich, don't ignore the needs of the poor. And he says to the poor, don't be jealous of the rich. And Paul then says, I have learned to be content with very little. And I've learned to be content with much. And the reason for his contentment was his love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we come around the Lord's table, I'm going to ask that we use this time in our own lives to let the Spirit of God and the Word of God examine our hearts, because you and I, we need to confess sin very specifically between you and God, repent of it, and then ask God to help us not do it again. So the table of the Lord is for believers. You don't have to be a member, but listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. For every imperfect person here, I'm one of them. God loves you. Jesus died for you. How great is our God? Would you stand, please? God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you dismiss us in your power? Would you help us, Father, in our weakness? Would you help us in our imperfection? But Father, would you give us an increasing burden to love other people? Would you give us an increasing burden for your word? And would you give us the power to be obedient to your word? And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory. And all God's people said,
amen.
That's a little bit of needed. All God's people, God bless you. Dismissed.